I'm Richard Haake for Leonard Lopate. While the debates are over, early voting has begun in several key swing states, and with 11 days until Election Day, the presidential campaign is officially in the home stretch. Joining us once again with his take on the race for the Oval Office, as well as some of the more colorful state races, is Andy Borowitz, author of The Borowitz Report on TheNewYorker.com. Andy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Richard.
So on Monday night, we had the last of the three debates in Boca Raton, Florida. Of course, both sides say their candidates was the stronger. Who do you think won?
Oh, well, I think they both got something out of it. I think that Obama won, but I think Romney got a really clear explanation of what an aircraft carrier is. So I think they both could come away saying, you know, win-win. You know,
And we wouldn't be talking about bayonets and horses in a presidential campaign, I guess.
Well, you know, it's so ridiculous. I mean, none of the debates have been informative in the least, and I think they've mainly just produced Twitter memes.
It was great for social media,
I think,
right?
That's all. I think it's really nice now that that's what our presidential election has come to. It's sort of something else in addition to Angry Birds that we can do on Facebook and Twitter.
It used to be a gift for the late night comedians, which it still is.
Right.
But we can add social media because now I can put up a picture of a bayonet and a horse and get a laugh.
Yeah, everybody, there are meme generators. People can do people were doing those women full binders full of women tumblers. You know, it's really turned everybody into their own late night show, which is kind of it's kind of appalling for me because since I actually do this for a living, I have to compete with a million other people who have the exact same idea at the exact same time.
A lot of the stuff is actually not funny, but it ends up that it just because it's not funny is funny.
Right. That is true too. Well, the whole situation of our democracy right now is not funny, I guess you would say. But I was actually thinking that this is where American democracy has come to. Maybe we should stop exporting it because these other countries are just going to return it to us for a refund.
Now, a lot of the big topics weren't included, like the European Union, torture, surveillance, targeted killings. None of that came up. Is that because they're too much of maybe a downer?
Well, it's a foreign policy debate, so they were careful to cover the most burning foreign policy issue, which is the reading scores of fourth graders in Massachusetts. They are really that, because I feel like that is the first line of defense in the war on global terrorism. Those fourth graders, they can't let us down. So I'm so glad they covered that. They didn't I can say this till I'm blue in the face. There are no rules in these debates. They've been compared to the Jerry Springer show, but I think that is so insulting to Jerry because Jerry actually has rules. He has those guys.
He has those guys in the back,
and
right?
I did not see Jim Lehrer pick up either of these guys and carry them off the stage.
Well, there was which was the one debate that they did get a little close to each other.
Well, the knife fight debate. Yeah, the town hall. I mean, the whole thing has been very trivial. The debates haven't covered anything substantive, and the media has made things worse because the media has done things like don't pay attention to what they're saying, pay attention to their body language. Uh-huh, thinking we want to make these even more insubstantial than they were going in. But I mean, if it's really just going to come down to who's sweating more and who's carrying himself this way, I mean, we might as well skip the whole thing.
So, was there a topic that you were particularly hoping that the candidates would address in any of the debates?
Well, I just on behalf of Kim Jong-un, I sort of felt that maybe a nuclear-armed North Korea might come up. I mean, it's interesting. I guess there are not as many voters in the swing states who care as much about whether this 20-something, unemployed 20-something in North Korea has a nuclear arsenal at his disposal. But they're talking an awful lot about Iran maybe getting nuclear weapons. But that's sort of weird to me that we never talk about North Korea, and it's too bad because I think he's kind of an interesting person.
But then in the foreign policy debate, the conversation kind of switched to teachers.
Yeah, teachers. Yeah. Well, Romney at one point said that he loved teachers. He has this problem with impulse control where he gets very excited. He said, "I love Big Bird. I love teachers." I thought he came this close to saying that he had a binder full of teachers he loved. And I'm just glad that he just skirted that at the last minute.
What about their creativity? I mean, were there any responses to, like, China or Mali?
Well, what I thought was, Mali, we're all about Mali now.
Yeah.
I don't mean to trivialize Mali, but I had never heard Mali discussed so much all of a sudden after not really talking about it at all. I thought that what was interesting was that Obama really had all the zingers. We'd heard earlier in the campaign that Romney was going to have all these, nuclear-powered zingers that were going to just level Obama. And Obama had zingers, but they were all really creaky and old. Like he said, hey, Mitt Romney, the 1980s called. They want their foreign policy back. And I was like, oh, snap.
So do you think the president's a better ad-libber?
Oh, gosh. I don't think either of these guys are great in this. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm voting for Obama. I don't mean to shock the audience like that. Uh-huh. I am going to vote for Obama, but it's not based on his performance in these debates. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't think he's great on his feet. I mean, I think he had one good line in the previous debate when Romney tried to nail him on what his pension invested in. He said, well, I don't check my pension as often. It's not as big as yours. That was a good one. Uh-huh. I thought that seemed like
it seemed like off the cuff.
But most of what he said in this debate were like these very creaky pre-planned zingers. I was expecting him to say, like, you know, take Syria, please. You know, he was just very much like Borscht Belt. I don't know who was supplying him with his lines, but they weren't great.
Well, if you think about it, the president does have to, you know, the correspondence dinner. There's the Al Smith dinner. He must have a comedy writer on his team back there.
Well, I think he's got an A team and a B team. I think when he does, you know, I think he uses like writers from The Daily Show. I can only surmise because when he does his you know, black tie events, he's always great. And those speeches are very well written and very well delivered. But I think maybe the speech writing team, his sort of day-to-day speech writers, who are great at writing serious speeches about, you know, electronic medical records and stuff like that. But I think they might be the ones writing the jokes for the debates, because his jokes on the debates have really been pretty terrible.
Okay,
I mean, just my opinion.
Well, he was on Leno the other day, and he did crack up Jay himself when they talked about Donald Trump.
Oh, well, that was a good topic. That was a good topic. I mean, that was just an amazing...
But
I
growing
really
up
feel
together
like
in Kenya? Was
as, oh, yeah, growing up yeah. in Kenya. Well, this is one of the millions of people who was suckered into watching that Donald Trump thing. I just feel ashamed. Actually, I just want to put out one piece of advice, if there are any parents listening. There might be some today, which is just that give your children just even the tiniest bit of attention now, and maybe they won't grow up to be Donald Trump. I think that's really an important thing you can do for our country.
I'm Richard Hake. I'm in for Leonard Lopate today. We are here with Andy Borowitz talking about the last three debates and also what's ahead. Let's talk about the moderators. You mentioned Bob Schieffer from CBS. What did you think he did? How did you think he did in that foreign policy debate?
Well, he was fine. He's a genial presence. But again, you know, he's kind of like these guys aren't really moderators. They're more like maitre d's. You know, they show these guys to their table. In this case, they had an actual table. And he sort of read the specials at the beginning. And then he was invisible. And I don't think he did a bad job. I mean, he was not. I mean, Jim Lehrer was sort of egregious in that Jim Lehrer just kept on saying, now you just hold on a second here. You know, you're talking too much. And Bob Schieffer was a little more elegant than that. But, you know, none of these guys, again, can control these two guys. They don't.
Or gals. We had Candy Crowley. I was going to ask about her.
Candy was the most sort of, you know, active of the day. She injected herself. She sort of did a tag team with Obama at one point to defeat Romney. But I mean, I think she was right in what she said at that point. She was clearly, I thought that she was good. And I also think Martha Raddatz was good in the VP debate. So the women on the whole did better than the men. You know, it's just a ridiculous format where they're not really debating issues. They're attacking each other. One funny thing that I thought unintentionally funny thing that Romney kept on doing was, you know, Obama would say something negative about Romney, and he would say in this kind of prissy way, you know, attacking me isn't going to solve anything. And I just sort of thought, well, wait a minute. Isn't that all you've been doing for the last, you know, 4 years? I mean, come on.
Do you think that there's so many rules that both camps basically put on each other that you really can't have a good debate?
Well, you know, I think the real problem isn't the camps and it isn't the rules, it's television. I think the debates really went to hell once we started televising them. I mean, people say, I mean, the legend has it that if you listen to the Kennedy-Nixon debates just on the radio, that Nixon won, that he won on points. But it's been a really steady decline since then. That was probably the beginning of the end. And now it really is all about who looked sweaty, who looked alert. In the first one, Obama appeared to be texting throughout the entire debate when Romney was talking. And so now they have this thing where they each have to smile at each other.
Right.
Because of the split screen, now they each have to smile at each other while the other one is telling them that they're, you know, terrible. So it's all about theatrics. It's all about, you know, trying to put on the best VH1 reality show. And that's kind of where we are now.
Now, former New Hampshire Governor John Sununu, who's also an advisor to the Romney campaign, he's in kind of some hot water now for saying, we have a clip, for saying this on CNN last night about Colin Powell's endorsement of President Obama.
And frankly, when you take a look at Colin Powell, you have to wonder whether that's an endorsement based on issues or whether he's got a slightly different reason for preferring President Obama.
What reason would that be?
Well, I think when you have somebody of your own race that you're proud of being president of the United States, I applaud Colin for standing with him.
So, Andy, what do you think Sununu was trying to do there?
Well, I think Sununu is frustrated because I think, and I write about this actually at NewYorker.com right now. It's the news story I have up there. I think there's a split in the Republican Party in the last closing days of this campaign over whether to emphasize misogyny or racism. And I think that Sununu is in the racism camp. He thinks that that's their winning message for the remaining days. And I think that he's been frustrated that over the past few days, misogyny seems to be more of the strategy. So I think he was trying to put down his marker, you know, draw a line in the sand and say, no, come on, guys, let's stick to what brought us here, racism.
There was something else that the president said. He kind of coined a term, Romnesia.
Romnesia, you know, Romnesia is a great example of when you try to create a meme, it doesn't really stick. I mean, Romnesia seems like an awfully babyish way to go.
He was kind of stretching there.
Well, for the most, you know, powerful man in the world, which I assume Barack Obama is, I feel like him sort of inventing hashtags and memes on Twitter, that seems a little beneath his office. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that people like me, who has a lot of time on his hands, should be doing. But I would rather him be focusing on Syria than Romnesia at this point.
Now, Indiana Senate candidate Richard Murdoch had come under fire for his comments during a debate. Let's listen to a clip of that.
I think even when life begins in that horrible situation of rape, that it is something that God intended to happen.
So, Andy, why is rape becoming such an issue in this campaign?
You know, I think it's a real comment on where our politics are now, that we can't even all agree about rape anymore. It used to be that I felt like all politicians were kind of on the same side when it came to rape, that rape is really a bad thing. But this Murdoch guy seems to be trying to offer a much more nuanced view of rape. And it just keeps on coming back. You know, I mean, started with Todd Akin and, you know, the Senate candidate from Missouri, who seemed to suggest that the uterus was kind of an individually sentient organ that could decide whether or not to get pregnant depending on what got the sperm in there. It was a very strange – he's, by the way, a member of the Science Committee, which I think is one of the most terrifying facts, other than Michelle Bachmann being on the Intelligence Committee. But he got this whole rape thing going with those comments about legitimate rape. And one would have thought, given the response to that, I think it got Claire McCaskill kind of back into that race and all that. One would have thought that maybe rape wasn't the winning issue for the Republicans this year. They might want to stay away from it. But I can only assume that either they really, you know, have this kind of nuanced view of rape that the rest of us don't have, or that it's really a nice pitch to people who don't like women very much, which is really possible. I mean, generally speaking, when you come out kind of in favor of rape, it's usually when you're running for some high office in the Taliban, not really for, you know, a Senate seat in Indiana.
Now, nearly as many people live in New York City as Ohio or Iowa. Is it fair that their vote seems to count more? Talk about the Electoral College.
Well, I'm from Ohio. Okay. And Ohio, I've got to say, as an Ohioan, you know, when I go back to Ohio, you are seeing nothing but nonstop political ads. It's nothing like New York, which is largely being unscathed. When you go back, if you're, say, watching, you know, let's say you're watching CNN in Ohio, when they go to commercial, there are so many political ads, people actually look forward to Piers Morgan coming back on. That's really the state of things. It's a totally ridiculous system. Why should Ohio be deciding everything? Having said that, Ohio probably is going to decide everything, and it's why I think Barack Obama is going to win, because I think the reliable polling shows that he's ahead in Ohio, and the economy in Ohio is not as bad as it is elsewhere in the country. So I would be surprised. I know there are 10 days left, but unless this pro-rape position of the Republicans really catches on, I would be surprised if we're going to see a big change.
And just quickly, any election night plans for you?
Oh, Twitter, of course.
Andy Borowitz, author of The Borowitz Report on TheNewYorker.com. Andy, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Richard.